Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we're coming to you live.
Say that again.
I was waiting for your name.
Rob Parker.
Yes.
All right. There we go.
We are coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios.
Well,
you can call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save an average of, get this, $470 on your auto insurance. That's a lot of money for a quick phone call, folks. Don't you think? That's the average nationwide annual savings. Survey data from July to December 2020. So give them a call, 1-888-FARMERS, to save some loot. That's right. All right. Welcome to the Odd Couple. It's Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, and we got a great show for you today. Lot to get into. Basketball, obviously there's NFL stuff going on, but there's some baseball news.
Not good
baseball
news.
A little bit of scandal, right.
What about the Padres, Chris? They got another ace they just traded for.
So you probably going to come at
me with a wing. I've already
said I'm picking a wing better. Really? To win it all?
No, to beat the Dodgers in the West.
So I'm to picking, get well, okay. What to win the
Dodgers.
Division in the regular season?
Yeah, to
season?
Win the division.
Okay,
they'll both
but you're
make
not
the playoffs
necessarily to go to the World Series.
Yeah, no, not yet. Okay. But they're going to win the division. But we'll talk about that another. I'm just saying, so much is going on.
Yeah, they're. Hey, I'm happy for them though. I'm proud of them actually because when they signed Manny Machado, I was like, they're not going to. Why
you thought they would just? Why would you waste $300 million and not put players around them? But they're not doing that.
Yep. Exactly. So it's good because I remember when the Padres had Tony Gwynn and they were a factor.
They went to the World Series. They played the Yankees in 99. Yep. They were good. Right.
So this is good to have the Padres back. But lots to get into. Let's welcome in the Odd Couple crew. We got DJ Alex Teichert, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan on the ones and the twos. We got super producer Rob G in the house. And on the updates, my man, proud member of Broussard's Brigade, Ralph Irvin.
And Chris, before we get started on the show, I do want, if you were on social media today and you checked out any of my social media, you saw a little clip. Matter of fact, Elijah put this clip together, our social media guru, Chris. You saw it.
Yep.
And
nice clip.
It's a little mini series that we're going to do on my YouTube channel. It's called My Mentor, Rob Parker. And Chris knows this. And if you listen to the show, I've mentored a lot of people in the business in my 35 years, and it's kind of like a collection of those people talking about mentorship and whatnot. And what I'm trying to get through to people is how important it is. You never know how you can affect people's lives by being there. Chris, you do all kinds of volunteer work and God's work and working with the young men and whatever. So you know how important it is, but it really is important. And matter of fact, Chris, I sent a little text to Bill Roden because Bill Roden was a guy who looked out for me in a mentorship way when I first started out in New York. And I said, I am the way I am because of you. And it's true. So I always said I was going to pay it forward. And if you saw the video, you saw Stephen A. in
didn't
there.
Didn't Bill respond? Don't put that on me.
Yeah. Don't blame me.
Right.
But
the video was great.
Yeah. If you saw it, it was Stephen A. It was Shamar Woods and Darren Haynes. Darren Haynes is a sportscaster. Chris, who used to be at ESPN Sports Center.
I know Darren well.
Yeah. And Shamar Woods worked at ESPN as well, but he's now the digital sports editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer. So just check it out. and think about it when it comes time to helping other people and reaching back. That's my message.
Yes, definitely very important, mentoring others for sure. So great work, Rob. It was a great video. Definitely go check it out. All right, Kyrie Irving spoke. We know he's been AWOL for almost 2 weeks. He's supposed to play tomorrow. He practiced today. He's supposed to play tomorrow. He will have missed 7 games for personal five for personal reasons, 2 for COVID protocol. And he spoke to the media today, I guess after practice. I don't know if it was before or after practice. But here's what he had to say.
The fans out there, want to apologize to them as well. You know, my commitment has always been to bringing something special to Brooklyn. And, you know, I'm back. I'm happy to be back. And we got some great pieces. And we just move on. And I let my actions and my game speak for itself like I planned on doing. Just needed a pause. Just a separation between what's going on here, you know, when I'm playing professionally and what's going on out in the world. And if you don't create that distinction, then it's easy to feel the weight of the world while you're going out there and playing. This team environment here, or just in basketball in general, it takes sacrifice and compromise. You know, and we got to come to an agreement and just stay in balance throughout this long journey. So that's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, Rob, did you see the interview or at least snippets of
it? Yeah, I did. Yep.
Yeah, I think we just make observations. Let me start this by saying I'm no body language expert. I'm no psychologist.
You haven't interviewed him. You haven't.
Right.
You're not diagnosing him.
No.
Right. Chris Nothing. Is not a doctor. He's not playing one on the radio. Yep.
Exactly.
So I want people to know that up front. That's not what we're talking about. Please.
Right. This is just an observation. From watching Kyrie in his interview, he looked despondent to me. Now, maybe he was just tired. Maybe it was, you know, that's all I can say. Maybe he was just tired. Maybe he really didn't feel like talking to the media, which is probably true for sure. And he was just down about it. But he looked sad. And I came away, Rob, I feel like I have more concern for Kyrie now, his mental health status now, than I had yesterday, than I had a week ago. You know, when I thought, you know, he really is fine and he's just whatever. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's concerned about the Capitol and all that. But he just didn't look good to me. You know, his demeanor, his body language, his expressions. He's very rarely smiled. He smiled a couple of times. He said, I'm happy to be back. He didn't look happy to be back. And again, maybe he was just tired or whatever. But I that was one of my observations. That was my initial one, Rob. The second one was that I wonder, could Kyrie have a savior complex? And that is a psychological term where I looked it up because he mentioned a point, and let's say this, he does some great things for people.
I mean,
around the
what's
country.
The story out there about
well,
the George Floyd family?
He bought
right?
George Floyd's family a house,
yep.
Which is fantastic. He sent he paid the college tuition, I believe, for 9 students from HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. I mean, he's doing some fantastic
And don't forget,
things.
He also put up money for WNBA players who wanted to skip the season.
Right.
Chris, or right. sit out because of COVID. He made like a slush fund to help them if they decided they didn't want to play.
Right.
I mean, this is
right.
not your average Joe.
He's doing some great things. And it's obvious he has a real concern for, you know, what's going on in our country and just helping people. And he mentioned that. He said, I have a huge responsibility. He said he wants to help the underprivileged and things like that. But there is a something called a savior complex. Here's a few of the, I looked it up, Rod, some of the symptoms. One, you only feel good about yourself when you're helping someone.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you feel like helping others is your purpose. Now, these sound like good things. And three, you expend so much energy trying to fix others that you end up burning out. And that's what a lot of preachers fall, you know, prey to this, Rob, and other mm-hmm. people that are, you know, whether they work nonprofit or whatever. And that's the one that hit me the hardest, that you burn out. And Kyrie looked burnt out, you know, in the interview to me. Maybe that's why he needed to take 2 weeks off. He was burnt out, you know, and because he's so concerned about what can I do to help? What can I? Because we all were messed up and disappointed and saddened by what we saw in Washington. But you still, you know, I wasn't messed up to the point where I couldn't go to work. I couldn't function normally, where it was going to ruin my, you know, me for the next 3 weeks or anything like that. And so I'm throwing that okay. out there just because, you know, it made me wonder. It's just some observations.
I understand what you're saying. I think that's legit and a real concern. But I think it actually validated to me why he was gone. So I looked at it a different way, Chris. I agree. He didn't look the best, you know, or happy or snappy right. and smiling. But now I understand this wasn't a guy who was just playing around, who just didn't want to play, you know what I mean? Who was just bucking the system, using the capital as a reason not to play.
Right.
I saw this. Yes, this guy needed time off. That's what he looked like to me. You know, I'm happy he's back. I'd love to see him get on the court on Wednesday, but now this kind of made kind of some sense to me on why the Nets allowed him to go and do what he had to do, why there weren't other teammates. There could have been guys, Chris, you know this, off the record, Kyrie's this, Kyrie's right. that. We right. don't want
it
him.
It happens.
It happens. That stuff could be put out there, and an organization could put that stuff out there to make him feel unwanted, you know, put him in an awkward spot, turn the public opinion against him, right. and the Nets did not do that. So seeing him tells me that, yes, he did need time off. I don't know about, you know, the extra days with the COVID, Chris, but there was something weighing on him, and it wasn't a mirage. It wasn't fake. It wasn't staged. This guy is a very, very different guy. I've said this over and over. I like him from the standpoint of he's not afraid to be who he is. Most people in life, Chris, aren't who they really can't really be who they want to be. Most people, for whatever reason, peer pressure, how people are going to look at you. You know what I mean? All kinds of stuff. And I don't think he happens to be a basketball player, happens to make a lot of money. But I think he would be the same exact way and trying to do to help people if he was a garbage man making 40 grand. I do believe that this is just who he is, and I do agree with you. He's one of those guys who cares and wants to change the world. I do believe that.
And he's got to keep that in perspective, though, because one person can't save the world. He's got to understand that. I'm going to throw this out, too, because I was talking with a former player recently, just a few days ago, and we were talking about Kyrie and that his whole situation and everything. And we're talking about Vince Carter. He came into the conversation. And we were both surprised. And this guy knew Vince. And we were both surprised at how long Vince played. What did he play? 21 years, 22
years?
Yeah,
like incredible,
right? Because both of us, me as a reporter, him as a player, felt like when Vince was in his prime, like, you know, one of the best players in the world, that Vince didn't look like he loved the game. Not by his body language, but just by the way he played. Like, he didn't seem like he worked on his game as much as, like, a Kobe. He didn't, you know, his body didn't change from lifting weights and stuff. Like, he just seemed like he rolled out there and played off natural ability. And I never thought he loved the game. And then here he goes playing until he's 40-some-odd years old. And I asked the player, I said, do you think Vince regrets that when he was, you know, super talented, he didn't give, you know, his all and as he did later in his career? He was like, no. He said, what happened was this, the pressure. Vince didn't like the pressure of being the superstar, of being the guy that had to go out and get 25 every night. You're going to lead the Raptors or lead the Nets to the championship or to the finals. He didn't like that. And he hated it. It wasn't him. And when he became, you know, a role player, he loved it. Like, he settled in. He didn't have the pressure of carrying the team. And he was fine. And I bring that up to say this. I don't think – I do – because I brought up last week, Rob, Kyrie looks like he may not want to be a professional basketball player anymore. I think Kyrie still loves basketball. I think he still loves to play basketball. I think he hates all the business aspects that come with being a pro basketball player. I think he hates talking to the media. I think he hates the pressure. Not that he can't handle it, because obviously he's a clutch player. I think he hates the constant scrutiny of his game and other players' games. I think he hates, you know, people talking about him every day on debate shows and radio. This is a young man that is living in a fishbowl because of, you know, what pro basketball is. And I think he doesn't like that. And I think some of that can take the joy away from him playing the game. I think that's a factor too, Rob.
All right, 877-99 on Fox.
877-996-6369. Your observations on Kyrie Irving's first press conference with the media as he's been coming back from AWOL, being AWOL. 877-99 on Fox. Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is The Odd Couple. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. 877-99 on Fox. What are your observations about Kyrie when you saw the press conference or heard his statements? Your turn.
Also, don't forget, it's a Trash Talking Tuesday.
Wowzy, wowzy, woo.
That's right.
That's
the
right.
Third hour of the show, you'll be able to call in, trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. So get your takes ready, come strong, and come correct.
On Deadspin today, on my Trash Talking Tuesday video, I trashed Drew Brees.
You trashed him yesterday on this show, so I'm not surprised.
It was like stealing money. All right.
I thought you might trash Tom Brady, but you'll probably save that.
I'll save that one.
He will get trashed before the Super Bowl.
No, Tom can't.
He will All definitely right. get trashed before the Super Bowl by you, I'm sure.
And also a programming note tomorrow, Chris. I will divulge my Hall of Fame baseball ballot tomorrow.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do that
okay.
tomorrow.
Have you ever had years where you didn't vote for anybody?
No. I voted for one person.
There's
always been like one person. Yeah. I've never. Okay. But
you
get 10 votes.
You lower your standards.
No, no. Right. Nope. To put somebody in. All right. Let's get to some of these calls real quick, but we'll do that tomorrow. Matthew in Winnipeg. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Matthew?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Let me just start quickly by saying, Chris, congratulations on the Jordan bet. This is in the baggie. Way to have some gumption.
Hey, you better be careful.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Hey, Matthew.
I'm not counting my chickens before
they hatch. All I'm going to tell you is Chris went to the store when the Dodgers were leading Washington and tried them on. Chris, you remember that?
It was 3-1, wasn't it?
Yes, Chris tried them on.
You talk about in the bag, my goodness.
Yes, it didn't happen.
Yeah, so I'm chilling. I'm relaxing right now.
I know.
I'm not getting ahead of myself, but hey, I like that.
You got this. Anyway, let me just quickly say, yeah, I'm sorry. You guys are soft pedaling. I don't understand. This is not a savior complex. Maybe a little bit. He's got some people to help. This is a victim complex. This guy wants attention. He feels bad. And that, look, there's 450 other players with a dead relative or a girlfriend at home that screamed at them, somebody looked at them sideways or any issue, and they're out playing every day. I think Kyrie is sweating a little bit when he looks sideways and sees James Harden on the roster now, and he took a little extra time off.
But he left before Harden.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, I that's a comment. That's how – I'm just trying to be careful because is this dude having some mental health concerns? Because I hear you. I mean, Rob, you say most people, players forever have played through stuff like this.
Right, but everybody's not the same.
But we've rarely seen, you know what I'm saying?
Players this is him, Chris. This is the guy who's flaming sage throughout the arena before he plays. Like, seriously, you've been covering basketball.
Missing games unless he really has a problem. And if you really got a mental health problem,
I don't know about that. I can't even comment.
I can't comment on that.
I refuse to talk about that.
I'm just saying, he brought it up. He brought up mental health in his own press conference.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I don't know anything about it.
I don't think this little two weeks away will solve it. But we're all speculating. But
Rex in Little Rock, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Rex?
Hey, man. Hey, just want to say, first off, I am a tremendous fan, man. You guys do a great job, and hats off to you.
Thank you, Rex. Seriously, thank you, my man. That means a lot.
Well, real quick, before I get into Kyrie, I've got to ask you, Rob, Pete Rose, should he be in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Really?
I'm going to give it to you real quick. Chris knows this. He covered baseball, did some Indian stuff. Chris, when you walk into the clubhouse, the biggest sign in the room is about gambling on baseball, right? And that you'll be banned for life. Right. And here's the only problem. I think Pete would have got in, Rex, had he come clean originally, asked for forgiveness. But what he did was he lied for 17 years, even though baseball had all the betting slips and had all the stuff. They softened a couple years ago. Remember when they let him be a part of the All-Star game in Cincinnati? You remember that?
Yep.
They softened. And then Pete came out with a book trying to make money saying, I did it, and then all the other stuff. And had he not done that, he might be in. But go ahead about Kyrie.
Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more because, you know, America loves the redemption story.
Yes, you do.
And especially a sinner that can become a saint. But as to Kyrie, the one thing that I haven't heard anybody mention, and this is what troubles me the most, and make no mistake, I commend him deeply for his work on behalf of the disenfranchised and the underprivileged. So let's divorce what I'm about to say from that, because that work is fantastic. But what bothers me is that I'm a parent. I have other people that depend on me, some elderly parents. Mm-hmm. I don't have the luxury of deciding I don't feel like going to work today, because whether I feel like it or not, the electricity bill still comes, the water bill still comes, the mortgage bill still comes, and it just bothers me that he doesn't see it like that.
That's fair, because everybody's got their chance. I was talking, Rob, when I was talking with the player that I mentioned last segment, we were talking about this the mental health aspect for athletes. And he was even saying maybe in the new CBA, he was like, look, a lot of dudes struggle with stuff. They struggle with the pressure. That's why some, you know, drink alcohol, use drugs, whatever, because of the pressure, and a lot struggle with it. And he said maybe in the new CBA, they need to put something in. I was like, but you can't let players take advantage of it. Be like, I got to take a week here, I got to take a month here. But he was like, you know, if you got psychiatrists and psychologists involved, maybe. But I don't know. It's a fine line, you know, because obviously guys deal with things like this. And some players are suffering from mental health issues. I don't know if Kyrie is or not. But all at a certain point, Rob, no matter how much trauma we've been through, at a certain point, you're responsible for your actions.
No, I get that. I'm not making an excuse.
I know.
Let him come back. Let's see if he can play for an extended period of time, and let's see what happens. Before this happened, Chris, he was balling.
Nobody even. We don't even need to bring up his game.
Right.
That's not even an issue.
Because he can play. Right.
Yeah. No. Nobody has any concerns about his ability. It's just where he's going to be at mentally. All right. We got Sarah Kustok coming up. Great person to talk to this. She's a Yes Network and FS1 NBA analyst, and she will join us next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Our next guest does a terrific job of calling Brooklyn Nets games on the Yes Network. also an NBA analyst for FS1, and oftentimes my partner in crime on First Things First when we co-host together. We are pleased to welcome in Sarah Kustok. Sarah, how are you?
What's up, Sarah?
Rob, CB, this has been my best night in a while. It's been way too long, Chris, since I've gotten to hang and talk with you. So to get a chance to chat with both of you, you're making my day.
Well, it is great to have you.
And you should have battle pay for having to work with Chris. Imagine what I have to do every day.
I'm staying out of that one. I mean, he's got to deal with Nick Wright. So
You mean
Nick Wrong? We call him
Nick Wrong. We call him Nick Wrong on the show, right?
Well, Sarah, I've been listening to you. I mean, you know, I've been watching all these Nets games, so obviously I've been hearing you. You've been doing a great job. But let's talk about Kyrie Irving. He obviously had his press conference today. First time he's spoken to the media since he went AVOL. Let me preface this. I'm no psychologist. I'm no body language expert. You know, none of that. I could be totally wrong. But I thought Kyrie looked sad. I thought he looked down. He looked despondent, melancholy. Even when he said, I'm happy to be back, he just didn't look good to me. Now, maybe he was tired. I don't know. But I almost feel more concerned for him now than I did yesterday or 3 days ago or when he first left the team. What did you take from the press conference? Just his body, you know, just your general take from it.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on, Chris. There's multiple layers to it, but the human side of things, which I think we're all maybe being more understanding of these days and over the course of the past couple months, year, it was a melancholy Kyrie Irving. And I think the difference, I mean, think about the beginning of the preseason, the beginning of the season, when he took some time before he was going to talk to the media. When he did speak with the media, as we often see, he is engaging and he has got a bright personality when he is speaking and the insight that he brings. And it was a very different feel this morning, frankly. And even when asked how he was doing and how he was feeling, if he was doing okay, he just nodded, and it wasn't a real convincing nod. And so I know there has not been a lot disclosed, understandably so, about the personal issues and matters that he was dealing with before coming back, and that's what he continued to say. But I think to your point, what I took away most was the fact that the people that he needed to talk to and to communicate with about this were his teammates, was the organization, and make sure that they're all on the same page. And so I think, you know, a lot of it will just come down to the weeks ahead, the days ahead, the games ahead, and how it translates to the Kyrie Irving we see on the floor.
See, Sarah, I said that to Chris a little earlier, that, you know, if an organization really isn't happy or didn't buy into what's going on with him, they could have put out dirt on him. Teammates could have said, you know, bad stuff to him in the press to try to turn the tide, you know, like we basically don't want him back or we don't need him. And you didn't hear any of that. I think that's a good sign, you know, that maybe the organization does understand what's happening with him and is willing to, you know, give him a chance to work through this funk.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think that for all of us in the media, of course, and, you know, just how it relays to fans, do you want more details? Do you want more insight? Do you want a better understanding? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, it's about the guys in that locker room, and it's about the way the organization feels because they're the one, you know, paying the checks. And so to your point, Rob, I think you're spot on that the messages that we have gotten both on the record, off the record from the organization is that they are 100% behind supporting him and making sure that he has everything he needs from them. And I think at this point, I think early on, there was some questions with the way it was initially communicated, that first game that he missed. But since then, it feels like his teammates and coaching staff understand the situation at hand, and they're all ready to move forward.
Sarah, you played the game at a high level, played at DePaul. So you understand chemistry, fit, that it's not just about throwing together a bunch of talent all the time. How do you see this fitting? I mean, that's the question we all have basketball-wise. We can speculate about the mental aspects. But you know what I'm saying? Like, how in the world is this going to fit together?
Yeah, I wish I could, like, pull out a whiteboard and act like I know exactly how this is all going to go, because it's going to be a challenge, and it's great problems to have. I mean, you have three future Hall of Famers that you're trying to put together on the offensive end, and obviously with this roster, there's some deficiencies, there's lack of depth in some areas that I think as time goes on, you'll look to fill. But what I'm most interested to see is we've seen the fit with Durant and with James Harden is how much there is that same integration. I was pleasantly surprised in the first couple of games, just the quickness of decisions, the ball movement, the body movement and actions that we saw, the varying paces and the tempos that they could play at. And for those, especially Nets fans, who had gotten used to seeing James Harden twice a year, I think everyone was like, wow, this guy
He's
can
incredible.
Pass.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
This guy is the real deal. And I think you can say it and you can look at the numbers, but until you're looking at it from a perspective of how he's fitting alongside Kevin Durant and then, you know, Joe Harris having a field day, like, that's going to happen. It's a pick your poison with a lot of these different players. But I think when you then integrate Kyrie Irving, that's what I'm most curious about tomorrow night and the days to come. There are a lot of players who, you know, feel like they could score at any time and any time they touch the ball. So how do you make sure to have that same type of, just the way in which they're moving the basketball, finding open guys, can you continue to assimilate everyone into the crux of this offense? Because I think big picture-wise and down the line, you're still going to need to fuel some of that confidence of some of these other players. I mean, even just the fact of Kevin Durant making the right play and pass to hit a Bruce Brown in the corner, who, you know, that's something that some guys are going to have opportunities to make timely shots. There may not be a lot of them, but when your opportunity comes, you need to take advantage. We've seen Jeff Green be an important part. So I do think it's going to be a feel-out process, but I'm also curious to see as the weeks come and they see different opponents, different defenses, different looks and schemes, how it all keeps coming together, because there's certainly going to be challenges and bumps and nights where you look and it may not be as clean and smooth as it was just last night.
Sarah, we got about a minute left. Last thing, I grew up in New York in Jamaica, Queens, and as a kid, you know, you had to pick a team. All the other sports, you had to pick the Giants or the Jets, the Mets or the Yankees, or the Islanders or the Rangers. But you never had to pick in basketball because it was always the Knicks. The Nets were in New Jersey, and it just didn't factor in. There's no way now in New York that New Yorkers with James Harden and this three-headed monster cannot pay attention to the Nets. Am I right? Do you get a feel for that? That okay, they've been Knicks fans their whole life, but something's happening in Brooklyn that you can't ignore.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see. The Knicks fans their whole life are probably not as enthused about it. I think it's the next generation. Like, can you change? Can you change
right.
the junior high kids, the high school kids? Can we change Rob Parker? Are you trying to tell me you're a Knicks fan?
No, I'm just saying, but I think even Knicks fans can't ignore it is what I'm saying. Like if you're a basketball fan, you know, you might be a Knicks fan, you're going to peep over and watch a Nets game if they're on. I do not believe.
You're absolutely, because this is star power. Like
right.
This is star power at its finest. And you've got some of the best in the game collectively together. And whether you're rooting for it to succeed or rooting to see it fall apart, I think it does have the attention of really everyone in the city, but also, you know, across the world that want to find out just how these guys are going to come together.
And, Sarah, you said it. This next generation, young kids who are just getting into basketball in New York, they got to be rooting for Brooklyn, right?
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. But in the meantime, you know, I think for Knicks fans, a lot of it too is just about hoping that, you know, Tom Thibodeau, the young guys they have. I think there's still some things on the other side of the river, but yeah,
yeah,
never
all
know.
Right. I don't know about all that.
You're being nice.
I don't want to bash on the Knicks.
No,
right now.
I get it.
That's never good form. You never know what's going to happen. Right.
Sarah, all I have to say is 1973. That's all I have to say, all right?
Earl Monroe and Walt Frazier aren't walking through that door. All right. No, great stuff, Sarah.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. Keep up the great work. I think I may be seeing you soon on the set, so I think maybe.
Let's hope so.
Yes.
You need a little help along there with our friend Nick.
Yes,
you guys
indeed.
Are awesome.
Sarah Kustoff, Yes Network.
Night.
Yes, thank you, Sarah. It's more Odd Couple coming your way. Keep it locked. Parker's power rankings are on tap. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's The Odd Couple coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. You can call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. It's time for Parker's NFL Power Rankings.
Can you increase your power? Do you need the power?
Yeah.
Well, here it comes.
Power.
Can you feel
power.
The power?
Power.
It's Parker's Power Ranking.
All right, let's get it started.
Number four,
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow, what a surprise.
What? They got the worst quarterback left in the playoffs, statistically. And the best pass that Tom Brady threw was to Drew Brees' son.
Stop.
But somehow they still get the 30-20 victory over the Saints. Saints gift-wrapped that game to the Tampa, and we do have a highlight for a change from the game.
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
There you go. So they're number four.
Number three.
The Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
Who were rolling when the playoffs started. High-powered offense, dropping 50 on people. You know, they were dominated a little bit to me when you look at Baltimore, Chris. First downs, yards. They had a couple of missed field goals that kind of threw them off, and then the big pick six. They won the game. I'm not poo-pooing it, but they weren't as impressive as they had been prior to that. Only a 17-3 win, and that 100-yard pick six was a 14-point turnaround. So that really turned the game around for Buffalo. So there we are.
Number two,
the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Kansas City Chiefs, they get it done again. Wasn't like overly dominant, and now we got a question mark with them, obviously, with the health of Patrick Mahomes.
Giant question mark.
Yeah, I mean, we really don't know, Chris, with the protocol and what's going to happen there. And, you know, all you got to do is follow Vegas. If Mahomes ain't playing, they're underdogs. I mean, that says all you need to know. And Buffalo could go in there and win that game. I don't even doubt it. They could. So they are number two.
Number one.
And the Green Bay Packers, to me, are number one after what they did.
Yay.
They had to, basically. It was a prove-me game, their high-powered offense. They put up a lot of points during the regular season, but it was a big game against the number one defense. Amassed almost 500 yards. You know, if they didn't drop, Lazard missed the ball, dropped the ball. That could have easily given them 40 points. On the Rams, so I think when I look at where the Packers are and where they're playing, Aaron Rodgers wasn't touched, and the big 58-yard touchdown pass to Lazard to ice the game. So I'm going to go with the Packers at the number one spot as we go into championship weekend.
Aaron Rodgers had some beautiful balls.
He did throw some beautiful balls.
Let me
and
ask
Chris,
you this, Rob.
Go ahead. You can talk. Go ahead. You said you could put Aaron Rodgers in your mouth whenever you want, right?
Why don't you ever mention yesterday or today the drop pass by Chris Godwin in the end zone for Tom Brady?
I don't have time
you
for that.
You keep mentioning the Alan Lazard drop.
I don't have time for
but
that.
But not Godwin's. My goodness. Keep it locked. They got 2 hours left.
Uh-huh.